We're here to celebrate this morning, right? We love to celebrate. We celebrate our births. Believe it or not, we celebrate our deaths. We celebrate our successes, and we celebrate our failures. We celebrate family. We celebrate history. We celebrate freedom. We celebrate our military. We celebrate our traditions. And sometimes, believe it or not, we actually celebrate some myths. Did you know what today is? Today is Finisher's Medal Day. It's a day that's set aside in our country to honor those that put in the effort to run the race and finish the race. Wouldn't that make a cool sermon? That's not the sermon today. You know what else today is? It is actually National Abstinence Day. I had to go look this up because I have no idea what that is. It's an alcoholic drink. So there you go. There's something to celebrate today. You know what else today is? It is National Cheese Doodle Day. Amen. Now, just so you know, I'm more of a crunchy doodle guy than a puffy doodle guy, but there are people that like puffy ones. There's room for all. There's grace for everybody. But today is National Cheese Doodle Day. And while none of those do it for you, today is also National Multiple Personality Day. So I guess those people can have a party with themselves. I don't know. But that's what today is. Now, most of our celebrations that we tie, they tie into a specific day. We've got something on our calendar that says, this is my birthday, this is Christmas, this is Thanksgiving. It's on the calendar, and a lot of them are pre-printed. Well, my birthday's not pre-printed on your calendars, but it goes on my calendar pretty quick. Nearly all of our celebrations are associated with food. I can pick a holiday, and you can probably name me the food that goes with it. 4th of July, it's hot dogs. Thanksgiving, it's turkey. Christmas is ham. You know, it goes down like that. And so most of our days, when I think about celebration, I'm thinking about food. Let's eat. Most of them are gathered, marked by gatherings, aren't they? That's why we have birthday parties, so that people can come together and give you presents, right? That's their purpose. Sometimes we even try to fit God into our celebrations. Man, we are really good at this. Man, we've got something all planned out, and this is what we're going to celebrate. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a Christian, so I got to pick a God factor to put into my celebration. We do this. Ironically, in our celebrations of God, God is never enough. Ponder our celebrations that we call our godly celebrations. We celebrate at Christmas. Is the manger enough? Nah, I got to have Christmas trees, and I got to have this, and I got to have that, and I got to have all the decorations, I got to have presents. We get to Easter, we're going to celebrate the resurrection, but we got to have eggs, and we got to have bunnies, and we like to celebrate, but in our celebration of God, let's just be honest. God's not enough for me. Now, I do want you to consider that most of our celebrations are about us, even those that we claim to be about God. We try very, very hard to tailor our celebrations to what we want God to be for me. Don't believe me? Christmas, what is God? He's a baby in the manger. We get to Easter, what is God? He's the guy on the cross and then the guy on the tomb. And as we move through our life in different phases, God is basically who I need him to be during my celebrations, right? Keep in mind, I can usually and do make anything and everything about me. That's the truth. And that's coming. I'm saying I make everything and anything I possibly can about me. And so sometimes in my desperate attempt not to make it about me, guess what I did? I make it about me. So around and around and around and around we go. And we know from our Chasing the Wind series that we just finished last week, because anytime I make something about me, it becomes this concept of worldly. So this morning, I'm going to get real personal, and we're going to get real personal for quite a few weeks, because we're going to talk about celebration, and we're going to talk about God-designed celebration. So if you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 23, and then you better get ready to run, because we've got a lot of places to move today. But we're going to start right here, and this is what God told the nation of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. Leviticus chapter 23, God gave the Israelites 8 celebrations to observe. Hence the reason this is an 8-week sermon series. I didn't pick the number. God did. Okay? So there are 8 celebrations, and interesting enough, as the church, you know how many of them we celebrate today? None. None. We don't celebrate them as the church today. Should we? Probably. But probably not the way they did it. That might be considered socially unacceptable these days. But it's a good question to ask. Why did we stop celebrating these just because we turned a page into the New Testament? No, I am by no means saying that we need to rewrite the church calendar, but you know what? In fact, believe it or not, there are some celebrations that are definitely for the church. But a lot of those we've abandoned because we've proclaimed them as rituals. Some we don't do anymore, and some we still do, and they're good, and some we do, and they need some work, and some are just worldly because, well, they started out as good, but as time has gone by, we've turned them into something that they're not meant to be. See, celebration is something that we love to do, but I'm not sure we appreciate how to do it. Thus, we are going to go on this worthwhile adventure and get some perspective, investigate how God, now remember, Leviticus chapter 23, God is speaking to Moses, and so God says, this is how I want it done. Now I'm interested. This is how I want you to celebrate me. And we're going to begin with Sabbath. This is almost the celebration that became its own private sermon series. Someday I may circle back around and do an entire sermon series just talking about Sabbath worship because there is just so much there. That's not what we're doing now. This particular day, well, this was the one celebration that was supposed to be done weekly. And you know what else? It was also meant to be done for generations to come. Exodus chapter 31, verse 16 says, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrate it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. Now, most of you probably know this, but let me go ahead and fill you in if you don't. Sabbath means 7 and was celebrated on the 7th day of the week, which would be our Saturday. Okay? This is important for us. What was the God-ordained celebration day for the New Testament church? I know what you're probably thinking, right? What was it? What's today, right? We came to church because it's Sunday. Guess what? Wrong. That's not the God-ordained day for celebrating in the new church. Now, there's precedence for it. If you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke and spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Cool. You know how long of a sermon I could preach if you give me till midnight? Just bring me a case of Mountain Dews, and man, we could do this. I'm not kidding you. I could preach all 8 of them today. I could go downstairs and print them out for you. That's not what we're doing, but this is kind of the verses that we start talking about when we talk about Sunday. We also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, save it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Okay. First day of the week. Well, that's Sunday, right? Well, how did Sunday really come to be? Well, most people associate it with when did Jesus rise, right? We know that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, and he was in the tomb, and he rose on Sunday. How do I know? Well, the Bible tells me so. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So Jesus rose, so this is why we celebrate on Sunday. Perhaps. Maybe. Did you ever realize that the first version of the church was all Jewish? Thus, in the first version of the church, they would have celebrated both. So that means in the first version of the church, their day of worship would have been Saturday. They would have set all day long Saturday to observe the Sabbath. And then on Sunday, they would have gotten back together to do what we now call the church thing. Wow. That's a whole lot of coming together, don't you think? Could you imagine if that was the requirement today? You have to give up your whole weekend to the church? Yeah, most people are like, I have a hard time with a buck and a half on Sunday mornings. We talk about an entire weekend. As the church entered other cultures, Sabbath faded. Why? Because Sabbath was given to the Israelites, and as they got to other places, they weren't observing Sabbath, and they certainly weren't going to give 2 days a week to this, so the Sunday worship began to come into play. And I bet you're just not going to believe this. People got upset. There were disputes that arose in the church as other areas began to not celebrate on Sabbath. The Jews looked down and said, no, this is how it's supposed to be done. Paul entered in and said, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind, whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So Paul said, the day on the calendar is not as important as you think it is, folks. It's the reason that we come. So, if you get nothing else out of this sermon series, take this one home with you. Sunday does not equal Sabbath. And it's a very good thing, because I knew what my full-time job would be. Burying people. Because we'd all be dead. Because this is what it says in Exodus chapter 35, verse 2. For 6 days work is done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, not hour and a half, your holy day, a day of Sabbath, rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on this day is to be put to death. Oh my gosh. That gets kind of serious, doesn't it? I mean, God's kind of serious, and just so you know, they took it serious. I want you to listen to Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 through 36. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly, and they kept him in custody for gathering firewood. That's interesting. Because there was not it was not clear what should be done to him. Oh, yeah, it was. Then the Lord said to Moses, this man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. So the assembly took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord commanded Moses. Are you kidding me? He was gathering firewood. Could you imagine this? This is what Sabbath, no work, meant. It meant you work, they killed you. How many here are happy for Sunday worship now? This seems a whole lot easier now, right? I mean, work? Bad? I wasn't taught that way. I was taught good work ethic. And you know, it's this cold day outside. Maybe I used up all my firewood. I need to go get some more firewood. God doesn't want me to freeze. Understand, there was a point to what God was doing. You see, God wanted to teach them how to celebrate worship. You get the idea that in the Old Testament, when the Israelites came, this was all new to them. So things were very, very, very ritualistic and sacrificial. As a matter of fact, if you have a weak stomach, you might want to bring something with you, because this is going to get very bloody over the next 8 weeks as we read through these celebrations, because all of them had sacrifices involved in them. But God wants us to understand worship. So while we do not celebrate Sabbath, we are not going to start stoning people for not coming to church. That would be counterproductive. And we're not going to stone people, although some people try real hard, because they do some work on Sunday. That's not the point, because we're not celebrating Sabbath. But there are some really good principles that I want to pull out of Sabbath worship that I think we should consider how we apply them in the today, the here and now. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it says, there are 6 days when you may work. I want a weekend. No, I want five. Okay? Isn't that the way we think? Yeah, some people are like, yeah, I'd like to just get down to six. Okay. There are 6 days when you may work. But the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. So as I read that verse and I just follow the commas, there are four things that God wanted to reinforce as what it meant to worship and have a Sabbath unto the Lord. Thing number one, a moment of rest. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, usually we couple the rest thing with the working thing, but I do want you to see in Leviticus chapter 23, God says it's two different things. So I can actually do no work, but still not rest. And for some of us, we can be totally in a resty mode, and I still got to go to work. Okay? So rest and work are not the same thing. And so God says it's two different things. So we're going to treat it as two different things. And just so you know, I don't find Sundays very restful. Nah. Surprise, surprise. I don't rest on Sundays. My day starts about the same day that all of my other days end. Sometimes 6:15 to 7 o'clock, I drag myself out of bed and I'm headed this way. And you know what? There are many times it ends the same way all the other ones end. I'm exhausted. Leave me alone. Nobody talks to me. I'm tired. That's Sunday. And it's because we are not a restful people. The concept of resting on Sunday, no, we got to do things on Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. So this little short verse tells us a lot about how Jesus says we're supposed to look at this idea of rest. Because he gives us some words to consider. He said, come to me, all those who are weary. That's me. Yep. Weary is feeling or showing tiredness, especially as a result of excessive exertion or lack of sleep. So Jesus says, it is okay if I come to church and I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm worn out. It's okay. He also says that it's okay if I come with burdens. Now, this is kind of like anti-churchy, because we know how we're supposed to come to church, right? When I pull into the parking lot and I get out of my car, I'm supposed to take all of my burdens off and shove them in the trunk of my car, reach in there and pull out my happy face and come in. Yea, verily, let's celebrate the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? God should bring your burdens with you. Now, usually when I combine my weariness, my tiredness with my burdens, you know what I usually get? Frustration. And you know what I usually find a lot of times when I'm in church? I'm not here very long before I am frustrated. Man, I came in tired, I'm exhausted, I've got too much already going on in my life, and somebody gave me five more things to do today. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all of that? Or you're more worried about, oh my gosh, I had this really terrible week, and somebody says, hey, I get this. Can you pray with me about my really terrible week? Okay, God, I understand. You ever been there? You come in this building and you know you're here, right, to worship. You're here to celebrate. But you're tired. You've had a really bad week. And then somebody just lights the match. Boom! And your frustrations just explode. And you know what? That's perfectly okay. What? As long as when you explode on the right person. He's got a name. Because what did Jesus say do with your tiredness and your wearisome and your burdens and all of that and your frustration? He said, bring them to me. Not the pastor. Not the elders, although we'll be happy to sit and pray with you. He said, bring them to me. It's the entire reason we created the little room at the end of the hall with a place where you can kneel and a place that you can sit. You come into this building, you need a place to dump them. Go see him. We call it prayer. Go see him. Bring them. Bring it all. But just know, we're not bringing them here for me to solve or for anybody else in this building to solve. If we're really truly here to celebrate, we're here to bring them to Jesus. Which brings us to the next principle that we see in Leviticus chapter 23, and that is a moment of sacred gatherings. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. Don't we love this verse? And let us not consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So let me ask you something. Trick question here. The reason we come here on Sunday morning is to worship. That's not the biblical answer. Have you ever really taken a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47? Listen for a second. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let me ask you something. Does that sound like a Sunday morning worship service or a party? Sounds a lot more like these people were getting together for a reason that wasn't just to sit here and sing songs and hear a sermon. I'm sure some of that went on. But remember, this was the early church. They were doing the worship thing on Saturday. When they got together on Sunday, it was a completely different idea. It was about encouraging one another. I should come, not so I can sing a hymn or a contemporary song, doesn't matter. Not so I can hear Barry speak. You're really desperate if that's the reason you're coming. Okay, not so that I can feel good about myself. I should come so I can be encouraged and so I can give encouragement. That's the reason I come to this building. I come to encourage you and to get encouragement from you. It's a two-way street, folks. Some days I will be encouraged because of what I receive. Happens all the time. I come in, I'm down in the dumps, and my tank is empty, and God puts that little spark right in my face and says, there you go. Some days, or most days, I'm going to be encouraged by what I give. I come to this building, I'm all worn out, and God puts somebody else in my life that I have to minister to, and lo and behold, I'm encouraged. Wow. Really? Worship is a byproduct of encouragement. When I am encouraged and I'm really into it and I feel connected with the group and everybody and we're all there, we are all in one accord and we're reaching out into each other's lives and I come here, it is not a burden to come here on Sunday morning even though I don't have time sometimes to do it. It is an encouragement because I know I'm not just coming here to be entertained. I'm coming here to encourage and to be encouraged. And out of that encouragement flows my worship. And that's important because who's responsible for your encouragement? You are. If you came and you leave unencouraged, it's because you came looking to receive, not give. If you came in and you know what, and all you have, somebody please encourage me. Okay, I've had a really terrible week. How about instead of coming in that way, you come in, who can I encourage and maybe I'll get over my really terrible week? Could you imagine what the church would look like if everybody that walked through that door came in with their antennas up, their ears open, and their eyes looking, say, who can I go encourage today? What an environment we would create. We couldn't wait to get here. We wouldn't be coming in like 5 minutes before the service. We'd be like, I'm going to get there for a half hour to get my spot in the encouragement line early. I want to find a good product this morning. And you know what? When we say amen, be careful you aren't standing in front of the door because you might get ran over these days. If it was all about encouragement, we'd be sticking around saying, you know what? I can't get enough of this. Encourage me or let me encourage you. That was one of the purposes of coming together. But that wasn't all they were doing. Nope. There it is, that moment of ceasing. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since they know what you will receive, an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So why do I work? Okay, because you pay me. Okay, if I have a job and I go in and they look at me and say, sorry, Barry, we're not going to pay you anymore. If it is truly my job, what am I going to do? Go find another job, because I come because you pay me. But on this day, it's not about having your wants and needs met. I mean, isn't that what pay is all about? You pay me because I need money to go out and buy groceries and pay rent and pay my car payment and all that. So I use my pay to meet my wants and needs. Not on this day. This day, when I come here, it ain't to get my wants and needs met. It should be about having gratitude for what my greatest need was and was met. This is where the Jesus person comes in. I'm not showing up because, guess what, I'm going to get something necessarily out of it. I'm showing up because, you know what, I am grateful for what God did for me. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's on tape, right? Recording's going. If you're regularly not attending and not coming, it shows a lack of gratitude for what God did for you. I have no apologies for saying that. I come out of the gratitude of my heart for what Jesus did for me. I owe him that much, don't I? He didn't make it a requirement, but I owe him that, don't I? So it may lead you into the act of service to help the needs of others. So when I come with that attitude of not being served, I am coming to celebrate what Jesus did. And so who was the ultimate servant? Jesus. So I'm not trying to not work. I'm just not trying to have my needs met. Because I want to tell you something. I'm the biggest offender here. I work every single Sunday. Don't believe me? Join me at 8 o'clock in the morning next Sunday. Okay, that actually be 7 o'clock for you. Don't forget to set your clocks up an hour. But join me at 8 o'clock next Sunday morning and run around with me for a little while to get all this going. Sunday is not necessarily a no-work day, but it is a day when we're supposed to do whatever we do it under the Lord. And most of the time that means gathering together so that we can be encouraging to one another as unto the Lord. Do unto the Lord. Do you do this unto the Lord? When you woke up this morning, if that was what you had to do, did you really wake up and said, today is God's day, and until the clock strikes midnight tonight, anything I do, I'm going to make sure it is done unto the Lord. I don't care whether that's cutting your grass or taking a nap or whatever it is you're going to do this afternoon. Have you made your plans with God today? I don't know, Barry. Church is just an hour and a half thing we do on Sunday morning, right? No. That's not how you celebrate. Because you see, when you begin to celebrate God's way, what it ends up taking is a lifetime of dedication. Listen to this. This is from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, what God has done for you, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper, there's our word, worship. Here's the thing that we don't think about. The stakes went up, not down. In the Old Testament, they were told one day out of every seven. In the New Testament, God says this relationship thing is a 7 day a week, 365 day thing every single day of your life. Go back to the early church. Show me in Acts chapter 2 where it says they met on Sunday. What did it say? Daily. Daily. So that means I'll see you guys here tomorrow at 8 o'clock, right? Yeah, I don't think so. Why? Because I got other things to do with my life. Well, you don't understand. That's kind of the point. But as you're going and as you're celebrating God, that encouragement you receive when you come here, take it with you out there and encourage a world and let them see Jesus. It's a lifetime of dedication. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed sheep, cows, and, well, a host of other things. Did you see it in that scripture? What am I called to sacrifice? Remember that sermon last year, the death of me? I'm the sacrifice. It's my life. And I'm not a sacrifice that they're binding and throwing up on. I'm a sacrifice that is willingly crawling on the altar and saying, God, use me in any way that you want to see fit. Oh, I don't know. That sounds a little radical, don't you? Don't you think? I mean, that's a lot more complicated than me getting up on Sunday morning and making sure I put on the right outfit and get here and sit in the right seat and I get the right donut in the right parking space. And sing the right songs and listen to the right sermon and then go home and I'm done. No, you're not. Your life isn't over, is it? This is a lifetime thing. This is what you signed up for. When you said, I wish to be a Christian, this is what you signed up for. Maybe we should go back to the Old Testament. Doesn't that sound a lot easier now? This is a lot harder than just don't gather wood on Saturday, right? This is commit your life to me. And Paul says that when we do that, he follows that up in verse 2. What will change in my life when I do that? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Well, there's our topic for the year. We want to be in the world because I live here, but not of the world because I'm not going to do it the way the world does it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can I tell you how many times over the years I've had somebody tell me, I sure do wish I knew what the will of God is. You know why you probably don't know what the will of God is? It's because you haven't spent much time at the, let me give you my life, Lord. Paul says the two things go hand in hand. When I choose to celebrate God God's way, then things are kind of obvious. And you know what? My needs do get met. Did y'all not see that verse in Acts chapter 2? Where do the needs get met? From the community of believers, because we're all working hard to encourage one another. So when I see a need that I can meet, I just go and do it. Nobody has to ask me. It's just natural. But the problem is that what I end up doing is I begin to make this about a celebration of me. And the thing I need to remember is Jesus never asked for a day. He just demanded that we follow. And if I am following Christ, then it can't be about me. I'm sure you noticed that the songs were a little different this morning. We never do come now as a time to worship right before communion. That's a leadoff song. Really? Does the order really matter? Does the song really matter? Is it all that important what is put before me as long as what I am doing for God? We do not celebrate the Sabbath. But we do need to have moments in our life where we take a moment of rest. Me get alone with God and share the burdens and the wearisome of my life. I absolutely do need a day of gathering. You're going to hate hearing this. I need you guys. I need you. I need to hear your voices. Sometimes I'm having real, I need to hear the encouragement, and I need to have a place to offer encouragement. I need you. I can't do this by myself. You were not designed to do it that way. You do need to have a day of when you're not going to work and you're going to do that day under the Lord. If your day can't be Sunday, pick another day. Okay. What do I do with it? As unto the Lord. Whatever needs to be done unto God, do it. And you absolutely positively do need those moments together. Because guess what? What good's a party by myself? Wouldn't that be the world's worst birthday party if you were the only one there celebrating your own birthday? That's a horrible feeling. We like to have ourselves a party
And you get, that's what church is all about. It's about celebrating the one who gave his life for you.